Welcome to the podcast, Claim Your Excellent Life, with your host, Suzanne Kellner-Zink, where she helps professional women learn how to be happy. Suzanne will teach you how to do this through building high self-esteem, relaxation and calm, and good, healthy relationships. Tune in every week as Suzanne shares effective strategies to help you claim your excellent life with happiness techniques, self-esteem building exercises, relationship tips, and relaxation information. Make sure to head over to dawningvisions.com to subscribe to the newsletter to receive your keys to happiness, as well as other useful free gifts for you.
In this episode of Claim Your Excellent Life, we are going to speak about who are you living with? This is so very important because the energy with whom we share our space can make the difference between having a fairly happy, comfortable life and one that is horrifically frustrating, perhaps anger-provoking, or depressing. And I bring this up because not only have I moved, just a week ago actually, from a situation that worked for probably about a year or so, and then my roommate kept encroaching more and more on the common spaces that we had without really thinking about me at all. The roommate, you know, the one who moved in to help her to not have to spend all the money or all the rent every month. Yes, that one. And as crazy as roommate situations can be, it gets even more difficult at times with your spouse or your kids. So what I would like to do is I'd like to go through some scenarios here and give you some ideas on how maybe you can make things better or know that it's time for you to move on. So scenario number one. I was working with a woman several years ago who had dated this man for 10 years, she said. Before they got married, he moved into her house. And he was a hoarder, a liar, and a sociopath. Now, it wasn't particularly evident in the beginning. This all came out very subtly over a 10-year period of time when she realized that when they had gotten into some tax issues that he was supposedly taking care of, that he had never taken care of them. He was blaming her for the problems that he was supposed to be resolving, according to him, and really making a mess out of that house that was once a very beautiful place in which to live. So one needs to be fairly careful in terms of who they choose to share their space with, especially if you're talking about getting married or you have legal contractual things going on between the two of you. In this case, it had gotten so bad that she realized that she didn't even care if she held on to the house anymore. She sold the house, split the proceeds because her husband wasn't working, and moved on. It was not an easy thing to do, but it was the correct thing for her to do. Case number two. So working with a woman who was living with her husband again for 10 years they'd been married. He moved into her home. They're older people. He's in his early 70s, she's in her late 60s. And it was really hard in that household because he was having a really hard time with his anger. And it wasn't really the anger that he had toward her. She was doing wonderful things, helping a lot, really too much. It was more an anger that he had toward himself because he was having a hard time remembering things, organizing things, just doing basic stuff. Well, in this case, I'm happy to report that she had given him an ultimatum and told him that if he didn't start dealing with these behaviors of his, he was going to have to leave. Well, he found himself a really excellent therapist and started learning a little bit more about how to interact with my client, his wife, in a much better way. Nowadays, he actually helps out around the house. Nowadays, he makes his own medical phone calls and appointments. She may go with him to help him to remember what was said, but he's doing all of that now for himself. And so it's a much happier house. Does he still lose it sometimes? Yeah, he does. But it's gone from several times a day to less than once a week. Quite an improvement and a much happier marriage. Scenario number 3. I was working with a couple in Boston. One was a very quiet artist type, and the other one was a very energized, passionate person. And the problem came because the one was really sensitive and the other one really didn't have any sensibilities around sensitivity. So he'd say and do things that hurt the partner a lot without really realizing it, without really understanding how to make the changes. And it was something that frustrated both of them. In the end, instead of the fighting, instead of feeling bad, they decided to split up. It was healthiest for both of them, actually. Their personalities just did not mesh at all. And, you know, they really did care a lot about one another. It just didn't work. And that's okay. Sometimes things don't work. Scenario number 4. Had a client who really loved his wife. The problem was that she really didn't show herself in terms of the sensual, sexual end of things. She had had 3 babies, 2 were twins, and she had a singleton, and she really wasn't into the same kind of stuff that he was into. This caused a problem. The way that we addressed this is that we addressed both their issues. We addressed his issue of not being happy and looking outside the marriage for help to get himself fortified, so that I'm going to stop doing that. And she was able to deal with learning more about what she really liked and wanted in terms of their time together. So in the end, their marriage actually worked out really well. Scenario number 5. There's a couple who are living together, and she was like really, really demanding, and he was really passive aggressive. In other words, he wouldn't do the things that he said he would do, and she would be really in his face about it. This was a problem. The way this was handled was for the one to realize that if no needed to be the answer, then no was the answer given. In other words, he wasn't going to do the thing in the first place, so why say he was going to? And for her, it was a matter of just respecting his choices as to what he wanted to do and not do instead of being so forceful with him. Or, when she asked him to do things, did it in a way where she gave him a time frame in which he could get the thing done, or better yet, asked him for the time frame in which she could get the thing done. And that worked a lot better for both of them. Kids. When you're dealing with your children, there's a lot of things that can go awry. Sometimes the kids are older and they're still at home, and it's really uncomfortable for both the parents and for the kids. But the kids are kind of in transition. Maybe they couldn't find jobs, maybe the jobs didn't pay enough for them to have their own place, or maybe they're still in school. In these situations, it's really important to have an agreement about whether some rent is going to get paid in order to help with the expenditures to keep the house running? If so, how much? Also in terms of who's going to take care of what. So if you want your kid to do things around the house, that needs to be spelled out and agreed upon for them to live there with you. It's totally reasonable to expect your older kids to help out around the house. They're grown-ups. They'd have to do it for themselves anyway. So make that a part of the agreement. And if you have rules and regs in place in terms of sleeping over with their partners, that needs to also be spoken about too. Who's going to buy the food? Because especially boys can eat a lot of food and can get very expensive. If they weren't living there with you, you wouldn't have that expense any longer. So get that one figured out as well. If the child is unwilling to live by these rules, well, you can show them the door. Because the truth of the matter is, they're going to have to pay something to live somewhere. They're going to have to pay for food somewhere. And they're going to have chores they're going to have to do for themselves wherever they live, like getting laundry done, cleaning up after themselves, things of this nature. If you have a kid who has a drug or alcohol problem, and they're doing things that you do not want them to be doing, especially in your home, it is up to you to take the upper hand and let them know you love them, and this behavior is not tolerable in your house for many reasons, most especially because it's illegal, and you can show them the door. That is my advice to any adult who has teenagers or adult children living in their home, doing drugs, selling drugs, doing whatever. It is not to be tolerated. Lastly, if you're living with a kid who's having some really large issues in terms of being able to move on in life, maybe they have anxiety or depression or some kind of special needs, in this case, it's really your job to help them to help themselves as best you can. They need to get out into the world. They need to try new things. They need to find success. And from there, their self-esteem will be increased and they'll be able to move on. It needs to be done with finesse, though, because there's a difference between allowing someone to use you and their disability to not be productive, become depressed or anxiety-ridden, both of which are really poor ways to live, or to go out into the world, maybe get a volunteer job, then work from there and to get in themselves some other regular paying job, or maybe going back to school, they need to learn some extra study skills or something along the way, given the time and the ability to make that happen as well. So if you find yourself in a challenging situation and it's not feeling good anymore, one needs to be strong. One needs to stand up for oneself, speak the truth, and take the actions necessary to improve the situation. It's not always fun. Communication is the way to figure out the best way to move forward. Honest communication. And if there's no forthcoming honest communication, it's definitely time to split up and go your own ways. Hope you found this helpful. And for you healthcare practitioners that work in mental health, both allopathic and holistically, I'm still working on getting that training together for you. Please sign up in the opt-in for the Dawning Visions web blog or the free MP3 download, and you'll get information as it comes forth. Go to dawningvisions.com at dawningvisions.com. Once again, thank you for spending your time with me. Until next time. If you had found the information that we have shared with you here on Claim Your Excellent Life to be helpful and interesting, please do us a favor of giving us a rating on iTunes. We hope it will be 5 stars, as well as a review. Doing both these acts will move the podcast up in the ratings on iTunes so more people will be able to find us. Also, please do us the favor of letting your friends and colleagues know about this podcast so they too can gain the knowledge that we're sharing here. We'd like as many people as possible to learn from what we have to give here. And we thank you for your time and effort in doing so.
Thank you for listening to the podcast, Claim Your Excellent Life, with your host, Suzanne Kellner-Zink, where she helps professional women learn how to be happy. Suzanne teaches you how to do this through building high self-esteem, relaxation and calm, and good, healthy relationships. Tune in every week as Suzanne shares effective strategies to help you claim your excellent life with happiness techniques, self-esteem building exercises, relationship tips, and relaxation information. Make sure to head over to dawningvisions.com to subscribe to the newsletter to receive your keys to happiness, as well as other useful free gifts for you.